Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this. Welcome, everyone, to this new episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Today's topic is all about female entrepreneurship, which is something near and dear to my heart. Of course, I am your host, Shayna Black, and I am super excited for today's guest. It's been a long time coming. I'm just going to let you guys introduce yourself.
Hello. We're super excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
Of course.
This is Gloria Ware. I'm Gloria Ware, and I have been working with women entrepreneurs for many, many years, probably about two decades as a banker, working with a lot of small business owners where I was a women business owner advocate. And currently I am with an organization called Jumpstart, which is supports entrepreneurs and do a lot of work around diversity and inclusion in that space. And really excited to be engaged in this topic.
Yes. Love Jumpstart. Go ahead. And?
Hi, I'm Ann Ritchie. I work with Gloria at Jumpstart. My background is I am a reformed banker. I work for a couple commercial banks, always doing workouts, which is kind of restructurings and helping companies that are failing. I decided about 7 years ago to use those skills in trying to help companies grow. So I work with companies mostly that are seeking capital, and I try to help them develop a strategy around funding.
So as we begin to dive into today's topic, when I say women's entrepreneurship, it's not really women's entrepreneurship. It's an extension of Reading and Riesling, the book club. We are together, what month was that, February?
February, yes.
First of all, February seems like, I would have said October, that's how long it seems like. Mm-hmm. But February is only a few months away, ago. So we did the book Leapfrog. And I will be honest with the book. And so let me sidebar. Gloria suggested the book. With all the Reading and Riesling books, someone says, I really want to lead. And if you're passionate about leading that book, lead the book. You know, we have the platform for you. So Gloria messages me, we got to do Leapfrog. And the first thing I thought about, of course, is the little green frog for kids. And so then I'm like, Leapfrog, she's like, it's all about, you know, women entrepreneurship and success. And I'm like, if you want to do it, go for it. I mean, I'll tell you, I was just really dragging my feet about the book. But
really?
Based on the name. And I'm like, because okay. It wasn't connecting.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, even honestly, and I'm so glad I was wrong. When I first started the book, I didn't start the book till like 24 hours before. Yeah. I said this at book club. Uh-huh. Because I'm like, Gloria, it's called Leapfrog. And it looked like, just from reading it, it was going to be a kind of dissertation academic study of.
You thought so?
I didn't know what to expect. Okay. But I was reading it, and I'm like, oh, yes, you know, what's causing women's entrepreneurship? I was waiting for data and rates and 86%.
Okay.
And so I was expecting a dry read.
Oh, okay.
And so the day of the book club, you know, I had it downloaded to listen to in the car, and I'm driving and I'm listening to it. Like, I better listen to something so I can have something intelligent to say. I love the book. I pulled over.
And to take notes.
If the author is listening, like, oh my goodness, I'm sorry to just, like, I was changed and I'm sorry I slipped on your book. I pulled over. I can tell you exactly where I was, and there's not many places I could tell you, like, where I was.
Wow.
I was on Chagrin Boulevard.
Oh my gosh.
Belvoir, by the. Pulled in somebody's parking lot and called Barnes & Noble. Like, do you have this book? Because I needed to write stuff. I wanted to highlight.
Yes.
All those points were like, wait, I gotta, like, I need to circle that.
Yes.
And I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called Barnes & Noble. I'm like, do you have this book? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, I'm coming to get it. Well, you can pick it up in the next 2 to 3 days. I'm like, I'm coming to get it. Bust a U-turn and go all the way back at that moment and buy the book. So that's how much.
Did you read the definition of Leapfrog?
When I found out, because I was listening to it at the point when she hit it, when she was like in the opening and stuff, because I was listening first.
She talks about jumping over.
Yes.
Outsmarting, disrupting. And then once you get that visual, like, of literally putting your hands on somebody's back and just skipping right over.
Absolutely. And just the whole point of it's not just academic about this is what it is, leapfrogging in front of people to get to, you know, access the capital. You know, some of those things that to me are plenty of workshops, plenty of people speaking about that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, there's still a barrier. But when I was realizing, like, oh, it's 31 tips. I'm like, oh, it's 31 tips. She should have just said that. She should have called the book 31 tips. To, like, at that point, I was hooked. I was calling people that day, like, the Leapfrog book. Go get it. I hadn't even gotten through it. Come to book club. Come to book club. So I thank you, Gloria, for introducing me to
my
the book.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So when did you first encounter Leapfrog?
You know, what made you follow the book? I'm just trying to think about it. I don't know if I was doing research on Nathalie, who is the author, and then just discovered the book. For me, the subtitle, Leapfrog, the New Revolution for Women Entrepreneurs, like, that, she got me hooked right there. Outsmart the status quo, launch, fund, and grow your business. And then in looking, you know, I always look at the table of contents. I mean, the her approach to the book, you don't need a hoodie. You know, forget getting to yes, get to know. So I just thought her approach, and it worked for women, because women are very busy. Women don't have a lot of time to read a long dissertation. Women need kind of quick, short hits. And I love the way that the book is structured. First of all, I like that she uses the term hacks in terms of how to outsmart the status quo and, you know, Silicon Valley buy. You know, those are the things that really kind of captured my attention. And her experience, her work as a working for startup companies, being an entrepreneur, running an investment company, gave her a lot of credibility and stories that she could pull from. So those were the things that were really appealing to me.
And how did you find the book? Did Gloria hip you to the book?
That's hard, because I was introduced, I can't remember whether Gloria introduced me to the book, but I was introduced to Nathalie by a colleague who said, you all think exactly alike on certain issues, and you need to talk.
You and Nathalie?
Nathalie. So I had a long conversation with her.
I told her about the book.
It's centered, I think it's about the book. It's centered, but it was after
it was I had told, yes, right, exactly. I'm like, well, time. Have you read her book?
Yeah.
Yes.
The part that I liked is she walks that fine line between being, she's not cynical, but she's critical. Mm-hmm. She's intellectually critical. So she bashes a lot of the way things are done.
Yeah,
haven't worked for women, mm-hmm. but she has got such a bright outlook and so much inspiration that you feel up after reading the book, although you're reminded throughout the book of all the terrible obstacles that are in her.
So the first time I encountered the book, mm-hmm. I was at the library, actually, and I was going to find the book for the marketing. Like, let me get a picture of the book, because I always put a picture of the book so people can find it. Mm-hmm. And I looked, and I, like I said, you said dissertation. That's kind of how I thought it was. But mm-hmm. I didn't even realize I wasn't reading the book. I was reading the introduction. Mm. And, you know, it was so the thing that caught me, and I'm like, okay, like, snaps for that, was when she wrote in the introduction, you know, white men get funded on ideas, white women get funded on results, black women receive no funding.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes, I know, you know, but, and then I'm like, we got to read this book.
Yeah.
And then I walked away from it, but I was just thinking it was going to mm-hmm. be a book that was like, and here's another fact about this. And here's, and I thought exactly. it was going to be the research of, like, the heaviness of, like, and this is why we struggle.
Right.
Yeah. And I can't handle any more struggle stories, because my struggle is enough.
Yeah.
And each hack is actionable. Even if you're not starting a business, mm-hmm. and you're just a woman working even in a corporate environment, they're actionable, and they're quick sound bites that can be implemented. The part that where she and I are very closely aligned is when she talks about venture capital. Mm. And she talks about how it's right in front of us. Most entrepreneurs strive for it, but it really is not necessarily good, because you end up very focused on an exit, which makes someone else wealthier than you end up being, because to get there, you've given away a lot of the equity mm-hmm. in your company. So she's very, I'm a debt person because I was a banker, and so she's very, very focused on how can you raise capital without giving away the majority of your company.
So let's put a pin in the debt piece, because I've got the question to ask and to talk about. So it's funny you bring that up, because that yesterday, in an effort to kind of reconnect and like re-jog my brain, I went back, I was on the bus or something, listening, going from meeting to meeting, so I take the buses. And I was listening to the book, and so that was the part she was talking about. And just the idea when she said, also, by bringing someone in your business, like, their whole point is to exit you. Mm-hmm. For you to sell off your business. And a lot of African Americans, and I would assume people of color, you know, we go for generational businesses. And we want that mom and pop to stay there and pass it down. And, you know, I think about, you know, the barbecue places or the restaurants and you know, family type mm-hmm. businesses. And so our point is not to hurry up and sell this business. Mm-hmm. I didn't get into Black Girl like, and then I'm going to sell it to Essence for $1 million and then start something new. Like, we don't do that so much.
Right.
And that's the thing that struck me. And then she also had a point where she said that there are a lot of people that are chasing that venture capital, but it was to be positioned to do things that we already have at our feet that we don't realize we have those tools. Mm-hmm. And so that struck me too, like, because so many people are like, get a VC, go angel route. And, you know, if we already have that, we don't see it because we don't know that we have that ability to do it.
And we have a well-trained ability, experience. We have the experience of doing more with less,
right?
Because that's been our path.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to a company, that's a way to hold on to more ownership.
What was appealing to me about the book was, you know, in working with so many women, and particularly women that have been trying to raise capital, whether it's getting a loan or angel capital or venture capital, you know, a lot of people get beat down, you know, by the rejection, by, you know, trying to follow all of the rules, and they're still not, you know, getting the funding. And so it has an impact on their confidence. Mm-hmm. And I've recommended the book to a number of women entrepreneurs who have told me that they just started crying upon reading the first few chapters, because it made them feel like it wasn't just them, like, oh, there's not something wrong with me, and oh, maybe I need to have a different attitude in how I approach this. I need to approach this from a position of power, and
lean into that, and lean women into stuff.
Exactly,
like you said, lean into all your things.
Yes, exactly. And oh, by the way, here are some practical tips that I can follow to help me to, maybe I don't even need capital at all. I really love what she said about kind of leaning into your customers.
Yes.
Let's start there.
Right.
So just the reaction. And then even at when we had the book club discussion, the reaction that so many of the women had in terms of how transformational emotionally the book was for them, mm-hmm. and reading it and having that experience. I just remember coming away from that thinking like, wow, this is, she really has something here.
Yeah, and I think for me, because like you said, we all think that we're out there by ourselves, because we see so much of the I'm successful culture, even in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say, and I'll give you my mini soapbox speech, is that the word entrepreneurship gets thrown around so easily that there's so many people like, hey, I'm an entrepreneur, and maybe you're not technically like self-employed or whatever that is. It looks different for so many people.
Yes.
So when you're watching all these people that are perfectly coiffed being the amazing coaches, you know, get my lesson for $900 and I'll tell you my knowledge, then you have imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're making it and they're making it and they're making it. Why am I not making it?
Yeah. Yes.
And it looks like they're making it probably with no vendor trap, especially even amongst our own. Mm-hmm. So I can look at another Black woman doing great things in the business. Oh, wow, you're killing the game.
Exactly.
And she just looks like it.
Yeah.
So to see that written down and realize, oh, we all kind of in this space.
Yes.
You know, that was the light switch that I'm like, okay, me and this book gonna be best friends.
Mm-hmm. She also gives a license to be disruptive.
Yes.
Yeah.
After I like that too. I read it, it's
which
like,
is what Anne is on.
I don't
about.
Have to. I do. Like, I don't have to take anything. When you tell me that that's the way it's always been done, that's a signal to me that something needs to change, because whatever's been done has not worked well for us.
Right. You know, even with the Black Girl platform, that is what works well for me. That space was unoccupied. And people told me, you know, it'll never work. Black people don't read blogs. Well, okay. But we do follow. I said, but you do click stuff. You don't know their blogs. Mm-hmm. Call it a web magazine, call it a video platform. I don't necessarily use the word blog.
Mm-hmm.
Just read my stuff. And that's why we have that post that says, just read our stuff.
Uh-huh.
She also doesn't get stuck on stupid, because she, of all the VCs, minority VCs, female VCs that I've talked to, her fund, Brava, is the only fund that the criteria is not the race or gender of the founder.
Mm-hmm.
It's the product or service that's being delivered. So yes. Her criteria is, I'll invest in anything, anyone who promotes women of color or women in any walk of life. So it doesn't really matter who owns it. If it's doing
good really work,
meaningful, earth-shattering things for women, she'll invest. And that's different because most investment theses that are focused on women and minorities
absolutely
have that ownership
absolutely
in the mm-hmm thesis.
Like, I want to talk about the actual book club that night itself, mm-hmm, but there's primarily, I really want to talk about the book.
Okay.
Because the book was a game changer. Mm-hmm. And like I said, when she said, this is 31 hacks, I'm like, oh, I get that. You know, oh, yeah, I get that. 31 hacks.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. And then as she started unpacking those hacks, I'm like, oh, I get this.
Mm-hmm.
I need to write that down. And I like the idea of being a disruptor, because just the idea to me of, you know, Black people, especially Black women, you know, starting these businesses and doing all these amazing things. I mean, we're already in that disruptive space. That's mm-hmm what that Black Girl Magic basically is saying. We're disruptors to
mm-hmm
me.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another soapbox speech for another time. But that whole idea that you're doing magic, because we're doing something that's not been done,
mm-hmm,
or we're doing something that looks so easy and people can't figure out why this happened, so we're calling it magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that whole idea of giving us that space in that book and these hacks, to me, I don't even have my book here because I gave it to someone like, you better read this.
Yes, right. Yes.
And I'm mad at them because they haven't finished it, obviously, because they haven't given it back. So okay, to me, what's taking so long?
But they may have given it to some, you get evangelical about it.
Like, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's very true.
It kind of overtakes
you. It's like, you need to read that book.
Absolutely, it did.
Like, right,
absolutely.
Yes.
Actually, it was...
you can't just sit on it.
It was one of my podcast guests. And so one of the things I do when I give books,
uh-huh,
is I wait for people to call me back.
Oh,
I told two people.
Okay.
Actual podcast guests. Uh-huh. So I gave the book. I told Bella Sin to read the book.
Uh-huh.
And then I gave it to Kelly from O Fudge. And so I just told Bella, just read it. You'll like it. You know, it's kind of hack. And I did a poor job of explaining what mm-hmm it was. They're like, it's one of those books that I say, it'll change your life.
Yes, that's what it uh-huh.
And so, you know, I forgot. I told her, but she calls me like, she gives me like a Facebook message. Can we talk?
Oh,
and I'm like, wow. I forgot about it. You have time to talk to me today? And I'm like, you okay? Everything all right? And she's like, so here's what I'm thinking. She said, I'm not even at chapter two, and my brain
exactly
is racing, and I'm doing all these yes great things. How about I do this? What about this? And so like, we
yes
talked and coached through it. She was like, thank you for giving me, you know, thank you for giving me the book.
Yes.
And so one of the things I like to say is I give people books, and I wait for them to call back. I give them books that I know that you're going to call me like, oh, when they told me that,
yes,
that's how I know you're
right,
reading the book.
Right, exactly.
And so I gotta get my book back. But give me my book back.
She just prompts you to think
yes
about things differently mm-hmm and think about, because, you know, I really, a lot of the capital stuff resonated with me, and it's this whole friends and family thing.
Yeah, yes.
And it's more than just, okay, we all know we don't get.
Well, let's talk about the friends and family thing, though, because she talks about, let's put it in perspective of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm remembering correctly, and I think I am, but she was talking about how many times you have to go through friends and family funding rounds.
Yes.
And so a lot of investors want to see that you've raised all this money from friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And I linked into this or leaned into that because a lot of times our family is like, just get you a job. Don't ask me for money. I mean, that's the thought process
right
of a lot
right
of...
Exactly.
Or worse yet, we're supporting
we're, exactly. We're giving
absolutely
our family
right
members
there's no
money
to
yes
support.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly, yes.
Right. And so that idea that... And I hadn't necessarily even comprehended the friend and family round, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because I just...
I don't think a lot of people comprehend the friend and right family round because
I'm not
so
asking
that
my
way
family.
Yes, right, exactly.
Or like you said, I'm supporting them. I'm paying right my... Or I know my family's all doing their other stuff. Like, why would I ask you to give me...
It's also...
Right.
We're not starting businesses at ages that we can sleep on somebody's couch for a year.
Exactly.
And eat.
Cereal. I did sleep on somebody's couch, but yes.
But, you know, sometimes we have
other
people
yes
taking care of, like, can I bring my whole family to sleep
yeah
on your
I did
couch?
That. Yeah.
I don't think... Oh, you
I
should,
did that. I, yeah. But I only had a month.
Well, I had somebody else that did that.
But I mean, it's different, right, than just... And I think once that friends and family isn't there, then the whole trajectory of funding that follows that mm-hmm. is off track.
Right.
Because yes. we didn't start out with the same capital stack.
Right.
And so the gap gets bigger and bigger because you go for your Series B and everyone's like, well, why does your balance sheet look like this? Well, I never had that
right.
initial plug of capital, you know, 2 years ago when I started.
Right. And also just the idea that we, and I will say as African Americans, or at least myself, speaking of, as myself, weren't trained to think business-minded. So to explain to my family this whole thing of, I need you to invest in me, like my business, that's foreign conversation. That's not like, oh, yes, we know what that means. You know, they don't understand that. So the idea of a friends and family round, for me, like, that would probably have shut me down on ever thinking about funding. Like, start with your family. So mm-hmm. my family,
And I think it does shut a lot of people down. But I mean, at least initially, but people are spurred on by their passion. And to Anne's point, they kind of start down this other road of trying to raise capital, but it's can be very inefficient. And then without having, you know, the other understanding what the other rules are, what the other sources are, without having people in their network to guide them, it just, they wind up spinning their wheels, wasting a lot of time. And as women, and, you know, Latinas and African-American women are the fastest growing group of Absolutely. Entrepreneurs. But we also have family members. We have caregiving. We've got community work that we're doing. So we're, you know, running households. So it just becomes a drag and very inefficient. And I feel like we're wasting a lot of potential by kind of having the current process that exists. And what I love about, you know, what Nathalie was promoting in her book is that it's okay to go in a different direction. Oh, by the way, here are some rules. Here's some things that you should do. Here are some hacks. Here's how you hack into the system to bypass kind of all the rules that don't necessarily work for women, and particularly women of color. So I think that's why it really resonates so emotionally with people, when because people are feeling some kind of way about themselves and they realize that it's not just me. And, oh, my gosh, like there's a solution. There's a woman
right.
who's an investor that understands, and they, you know, they're coming at it from a completely different playbook.
And I think not even a solution, a quick solution.
Yes,
like they're
exactly.
truly hacks. It's not like they're very, in four yes. years once you've done this, they're yes, hacks. Exactly. Like you can implement this today. Yeah. And that's something that I totally
one of my favorite quotes that she says in the book is think about, in terms of thinking about like what is a problem that needs to be solved, is think about something that you want to punch.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's like just even that language. And mm-hmm. there's so many things that we encounter just in our, you know, daily lives as being women that make us angry. And she kind of gives you that almost that language that she uses to give you that emotional power, permission yeah. to like, okay, like, I can fix this. It's okay that I want to fix right. this, even if it is a social issue.
Absolutely.
But here's a way to do it and create a business out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the idea that usually when we want to punch it, we see the solution.
Yeah.
Why don't we just do blank? And, you know, why doesn't everybody see that answer? But if you see the answer, yes. that's your business.
Right, exactly. Right, yes.
But, and I agree with the talent being wasted because people are frustrated. I really mm-hmm. want to go into this, but.
Yes.
And it's something that along the lines has defeated them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the capital.
Yes.
I can't afford
exactly.
the graphic designer that wants $1,200. You know,
right.
those kind of things
yeah.
because I don't have the capital
mm-hmm.
and the banks turn me down. So, you know, I love the book.
Something else she said that really resonates with me, because I'm constantly debating this with people, is she said all of our businesses are social enterprise.
Absolutely.
So a lot of times people put that extra burden on our businesses that they have to do some social good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that inhibits a lot of investment, because people tend to invest for profit. If they want to invest for social good, they'll do something philanthropic.
Yeah.
But the point is, just women starting businesses is a social good, even if there's no giveaway to hungry children or something. You know, the mere fact that we're hiring more, we're paying them more. You know, anyone who works for us, people who work for women-owned businesses tend to earn
Yes.
wages. All of that is social good without having the burden of, oh, we've got to give 5% of our
mm-hmm.
profits away, because that's what people look for.
Right.
In
right.
And we have more flexible employment terms because we understand what that means to be, you know, responsible for others.
Right. And I think like I know a female African-American female entrepreneur, and so the whole point is like I'm trying to position my business to be a social enterprise. Mm-hmm. And she does great work. Mm-hmm. But within that, you know, kind of the red tape to help us, mm-hmm, sometimes hinders people, because now it's additional, you know, like if you go through this hoop, then you'll be able to say that you are, you know, a social enterprise or a woman-owned business. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I am, though.
Yes.
Like, I don't need you to tell me that.
Right, yes.
But
right,
there's so much stuff.
Right, and what shackle does it put? Sorry for that. Aggressive word.
No, keep going.
But what does it put on us if we have to self-identify as a women-owned business? When I sell my business that I've put my heart and soul in, and I can only sell it to another woman because...
All the certifications attached to it.
And what's the value of my business without the certifications? It's probably the same, but nobody's going to perceive that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I just had a conversation with someone about the certification process. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, they want to work with you, but they're not going to work with you at the check mark. And I was in a workshop about working with one of our local hospitals here. Mm-hmm. And that's what they look for. And so their vendors want that box checked. And so after, I overheard people in the hallway mulling around, because most of them aren't minority. Most of them aren't woman-owned. They're not checkmark boxed. Mm-hmm. And they talked about the struggle. Like, you got to have all this stuff. You got to have, like, and someone that was actually starting the process, like, I don't know, like, do you have a copy of the first check you ever wrote? Well, she's been in business, like, 4 years. Wow. So who's to say I have that first check, mm-hmm, anymore? And
yeah,
maybe I changed my account. So those, right, kind of things are now, like, just forget it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then it gives the power to say, well, we can't find anybody that's a woman-owned business. Well, I mean, we're here, but, again, there's...
Yeah.
We need a hack for that.
Yeah. Right. That's why, like, again, it hurts just saying to focus on the customer.
Yes.
And, you know, I think probably the thing that led me to this book, I had started researching about 3 or 4 years ago, like, books that really offer alternative points of view or solutions to help that were more relevant to women, particularly women of color or people of color in general. Because of all of the exceptions to the rules, you know, that we face in terms of friends and family, and then having our own equity, and then the whole, okay, I can quit my job for, you know, and then do this. And kept coming across this concept, and we talk to our entrepreneurs a lot about this, is focusing on your customer.
Right.
Who is your customer?
Yep.
Like, get that right, and the money will follow. You may not even need investment capital, or you can be a lot more selective about it because you actually have customers. And I know that's a challenge, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for entrepreneurial support organizations to help our clients do that better. But she makes a big point of saying, know your customer and the money will follow.
I agree. I think a lot of people think small on their customer.
Yeah.
So, like, my customer must be a Clevelander.
Yes, or, absolutely.
And there's someone that's going to want your crochet, yeah, hat in Alaska.
Absolutely, yes. Yep.
So,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's funny that you say that, because one of the entrepreneurs that I'm in a group with, she lived in Singapore for 4 years. And she was in the fashion business for 4 years, and we had a little gathering, and she presented on, you know, all these opportunities in
international
fashion. But she also just reminded us, when, you know, women of color exist all over the world.
Absolutely.
You know, they have skincare needs, they have, you know, hair, there's all different types of hair textures all over the world. So don't just think about Cleveland, think globally.
Right.
And then just even being exposed to this woman who had been in Singapore in the fashion, and just hearing that from her, again, we're talking about representation matters, hearing that from her just kind of like helping us to expand our mindset to think bigger. And I think we need more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need more, like, there's a lot of talk about Black Girl Magic. We say that a lot. We do hashtag,
yes,
you, mm-hmm, know. But I don't know if because of, you know, constantly being on the defensive, we always take that in to our spirit and our hearts. And I think having people like Nathalie, you know, other people, Beyonce, I think is a great role model for, like, what we can be like, wow, we are amazing. We need to hear more of that. We need to tell one another more of that. What struck me about our book club discussion was the conversation that, you know, that you had about that person that you have in your life, that woman entrepreneur you have in your life that caused you to remind you, like, girl, you rock, or you're doing it, or keep going. And I think Erica, and I think, I can't remember the other lady that was there, but talked about that
support group.
Exactly. And she talks about that as well, too, in her hack number 22, don't wait for other people to get woke.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we always, I had a time last week, and I had to call my tribe.
Yes.
And just because I was getting to that overwhelmed, is this going to work? Yeah. Is anybody going to buy this ticket?
Right.
Buy my tickets? Anybody going to come to this event? And I needed someone else that sells tickets to say, you know, that's just how things work.
Yeah.
But to your point about the Beyonce, I think we know the Black Girl Magic, but I don't think that people think it's me.
Exactly.
So, like,
yes,
Serena's killing the game,
yes,
Black Girl Magic.
Right.
But that's Serena. I have to be the best tennis pro, or I have to bring millions of dollars in.
Yes.
And so, again, we see it from afar.
Yeah.
It's like Black Girl Magic has to be instilled on you.
Exactly.
So, you know, you never feel like you're accomplished enough.
Yes.
And there's a data hole. They haven't studied how women, and especially women of color, succeed in business. So there's not data about, okay, we took a different turn and this is how it ended up.
Right.
So it's, you know, there's more risk for us because it's uncharted territory, or there's not the data to support what we know is right, but
right,
we're still like, it would be nice to see a nice tiny report, which is why that American Express report on women of color was so...
Tell us about that.
Reinforcing. Am I saying...
Was it the I know American Express does a report, but the... Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas.
Well, I'm talking about the American Express one where they said, this is, women of color are dominant market players. This is how they think. This is how they buy. This is how much power they
have.
That
was,
and it was a
it's
thick
not
report.
It was Nielsen's.
Yes.
It was Nielsen's. Yes. It was Nielsen's.
American Express. Sorry.
Yeah. They need to do one, American Express.
American Express
does a report on women, the state of women.
The state
and
of women.
Talk a lot about Latinas and African
women. And that was
women.
Good, too.
It was nice to see in print what we know
and our purchasing power.
Yes, absolutely.
That, you know, could really turn things around for us.
Okay. I use that report. I use that report in our sales, like why you want to advertise with Black girls.
Oh,
look at the buying
good.
Power
okay.
of Black women.
Uh-huh.
And that's the second report, because I have one that's been on for, I put out, I think, a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second, about like the mainstream market and how the buying power, just the one is the buying power of Black women.
Okay.
And then there's the side of the business.
Okay.
Because the Black woman spends a lot, they make a lot of decisions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So before my son has those new LeBrons on.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I made a decision to buy those
to
LeBrons.
To give him the money.
So,
right.
So that idea of we make all the decisions.
We control a lot.
And back to the point of the book, we are our own corporation.
Yeah.
So even in your household, we are the CEO, the CFO, all of that.
Yeah. Well, I remember... we were having another meeting, and the topic was managing your money. It's like you were leading the meeting. You and Danielle Sitnor from ECDI.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Danielle.
And and she was talking to a group of, you know, Black women, and just saying, like, hey, a lot of times we don't think of ourselves as money managers, but we are some of the most creative money managers that exist, because you're managing your household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about, you know, how you are able to kind of take resources and stretch them. And I think sometimes, too, just kind of pointing those things out that we do as a regular course of business, which is kind of like Black Girl Magic.
Yeah.
Like, how did you, like, make that 15 cents stretch into a dollar?
Right, right.
But, like, okay, so, yeah,
every
you can
for
do
the last
that.
52
right.
weeks.
Right, right. Yeah.
You work there and you afford that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
I can.
So if you could do that, then, well, what could you do if you really had some money?
Mm-hmm.
And then, what do you want to talk about the event that you went to at Case and what they said about
it was a
woman of color?
There's a panel. One individual is from Jumpstart, and the other had this T-shirt on that said Unshackled.
Ooh!
And I was I came in late, so I didn't know why he was wearing it. The whole time I'm thinking, what is he? He was East Indian. And I'm thinking,
what is behind that? And then at the end, he circled back and he said he started Unshackled Ventures. And it's, he only invests in immigrant populations, and their shackle, which is different than other minority groups' shackles, is the immigration system. So what he does is he just hires them. So the way the laws work, mm-hmm. as I understand mm-hmm. it, is you can start and own a business, but there could be situations where you can't even work in that business because you don't have the correct visa and everything. Right. So he takes that off the table. If he thinks you have a good idea, he hires you, mm-hmm. incubates your idea. If it works,
he spins it off to
he
you.
He spins it off. If it doesn't work, he just keeps you and deploys you to work at another part of the company. But he takes the whole immigration shackle off the table.
Nice.
And when I asked him, I said, how many of your investors invest in Unshackled Ventures because they believe immigrants are better business owners? He said 100%.
Absolutely.
And I said, well, we don't have the data for women of color. He's like, make your own data. You've got a gazillion case studies.
Absolutely.
You all decision more. Do more with less. You manage things. You've been doing that for eons.
The relationships.
The relationships, managing, negotiating relationships.
Yep.
So he was very motivational, but also unabashed.
And just the brand loyalty that we build, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
We as a family in the culture, you know, if your mom bought this cereal, uh-huh. that is the cereal you buy. We don't stray from this. We don't stray from that.
Very brand loyal.
That, mm-hmm. Right. And so that idea of, again, back to our buying power.
Yeah.
But the importance of our branding mm-hmm. and how people are moving to us. And but I want this shirt.
I know.
Yeah.
I wish I had a company. Right.
Someone else named my company there. Unshackled Ventures. Right. Yeah.
But that was interesting to hear how we as women of color were perceived by people
that hasn't had that much experience with us.
Exactly. Yet. Right.
It was reaffirming.
It was. Yes.
As
we are being seen.
Yes. And I think we're being watched. Like, people know that there's Black Girl Magic. People uh-huh. watch.
Yeah.
They don't want to touch. They're just kind of afar from it. Like, let's see how this plays. Like they're too committed to jump on the boat. Like, uh-huh. yes, I'm down for it. Let's invest my money. Let's mm-hmm. angel invest around. They just, because they don't know where to touch it. Because they don't, I think it's because you don't know where it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said, one day we make an 89 cent stretch to a dollar. Mm-hmm. Another day right. we make a 15 cent stretch to a dollar. Right. So you're like, well, what can they do? Can we start with zero? You know, like, what are they going to do next? Which is something I love.
I'm guessing.
Yes, which I love. So, back to the book. Okay. I don't want to write that. Okay. What's your favorite hacks? Or we talked a lot about what spoke to you. Do you have a favorite hack or like that you gave snaps to or anything else that we didn't talk about that you like, we got to talk about this?
Mine is debt, her hack. I don't know what number it was, but mm-hmm. debt is not a four letter.
Yes. And actually, I wrote that down to ask you about
hack
that.
Hack number 34.
34.
So let's talk about that because I wrote that too. Okay. And I have someone that comes in here daily, like, don't take on debt, don't do it, be debt free. And I'm
so
like,
much.
If I could just, like, I don't need a lot of money. I'm not talking mm-hmm. about, like, I'm gonna take out a $2 million loan or nothing, but like, can I just get $10,000 to just, you know,
yeah. And in the finance
or
world,
credit
there,
or any,
yeah,
of
in
that.
The finance world, there's kind of soft rules that say this is something that you should fund with equity,
yes,
and this is something you should fund with debt. But beyond that, it's kind of a vote of confidence, mm-hmm. like. Am I willing to take on something that has to be repaid?
Absolutely.
Do I have enough confidence in my projections, in my business model, that I'm going to generate the cash to repay it? And there are situations where you don't have that confidence. But 90% of the time, mm-hmm. you are the one that has the confidence in the business and the understanding to say, yeah, it might be tight,
yeah,
but I can
or
take
I'll make
on,
it work.
I'll make it work and keep the ownership of my company.
Absolutely.
As opposed to giving it away because I'm scared of the risk.
Right. And I think part of it is also understanding what you need. So there are people that, I remember when I first started, and somebody was like, you just need a $75,000 loan. I don't know what I would have done with a $75,000 loan. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have paid for stuff twice as much
than
it probably.
Exactly, yes.
Like, website for $4,000? Right. Sure, I got a $75,000 uh-huh, loan, you know? And then it wouldn't have paid off. So I would have squandered it because that's not what I needed. And so just that idea of, you know, debt is something. It's kind of like cholesterol. Like, you have a good cholesterol, you got bad cholesterol,
exactly.
you got good debt.
That's a very good
you have bad debt.
Yes.
But all debt is not
like
bad.
Right. And so I remember even, and so then going to the personal side and the cultural side, I remember graduating from college and the family was like, you rid of all your credit cards, just shut them down, turn them. That's the worst thing to do. Like, you know, cut up your credit cards, right, and cancel them, as opposed to rebuilding and paying, you know, just charge your Netflix to it and pay it off. Right. Something small.
Exactly. And I think because the networking and the information cycle is smaller, we get a lot of bad information on capital structure. And no, you should never take on debt. And it's, I get it, as an entrepreneur, you're like, where do I go for advice?
Absolutely.
Because you will get conflicting stories. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you get people that are telling you stories based on who they are. Exactly. So like, I'm a lender, and you just need this. Here, it's a real easy process. Or you get people that maybe have been burned by it, and no one really, and you have people, again, that are social media influencers, like, take my course and learn why debt's important.
And I've been to one of those.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily know who they are, but you're charging. You're having a workshop, so it must be important. And you don't necessarily know, you know, their back end or where they're coming from either. So the book club, back to the book club, because I want to talk about the ladies. I was happy with the attendees. And it was one of those, and I hate the saying, but I'm going to say it. The people that needed to be there were there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we had people that had lots of different backgrounds. And because I knew some of the people that showed up, they had never been to one of our book clubs, so they were truly driven by the book or the idea of the book.
Yes.
But the discussion, it was, number one, I think it's always powerful to see Black women business owners together.
And yes, definitely.
And talking. And sharing. And so the one, I can't remember her name, she was, you know, she does art, and she did, oh, I'm telling her name. She does art, and she was trying to grow her business and trying to reconnect.
I remember her.
And I think that that was a real supporter, because even in that space, like we talked about the friends and knowing your tribe or knowing your circle, it's hard to find that person in your personal circle.
Yes, that's what's
so in my personal circle, and before in my personal circle, before, you know, in the beginning days, I didn't have anyone else that was an entrepreneur. I had people that did a lot of the MLM work. You know, I sell Avon, so I'm an entrepreneur. I own a business. And I'm like, you're not going through, like, I'm catching hell here, right? You know, I don't have these issues that you have, or you don't have issues I have. So I didn't have anyone to talk to. You know, you can tell your family, they can try to help. Yeah. Some of them are like, just go work at, you know, go back to corporate. Forget this thing. It's a side gig.
Yeah.
So by not having it, you know, one of the things is people often ask where to start. Any advice? You don't have to have any advice. Any advice of how to find a network or a group?
I would say, definitely starts with finding another woman entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I think increasingly more women entrepreneurs are starting to connect and find their tribe. I have a group in Cleveland that, you know, of women entrepreneurs that we gather and get together and share, and we're happy to share my information. But I know that there's a number of them that are popping up. And then sometimes that might not be your click.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you just have to, don't give up on like, oh, forget these women. I'm going to never go off and do my own thing. You just have to find the right tribe for you. Okay. Which that reminds me, like, so my favorite hack, which speaks to that, again, is hack 22. Don't wait for folks to get woke. And this is a result of a lot of the things that I saw as, you know, women were coming in and trying to get help with their business. She says, many women out there were no doubt holding back as well, and as a result, too many of us were working in silos, limiting our ability to help others, and in worst case, suffering alone. There's only one thing worse than looking weak, and I came to realize that's being weak.
Yes.
If you operate alone, it can happen more easily than you might like to think. And I'm a strong believer in women working together to collaborate, you know, sharing their strengths, you know, where are some areas of commonality that we can support and build together. Ann talks a lot about companies rolling up and leveraging their unique capabilities. So entrepreneurship is not, it's a team sport. And I think there's this myth of like, I've built this business by myself, pulling myself up by my own bootstraps, when really that's not what happened. Right. You know, that's the position that is what people see.
Sounds good, yeah.
So you're...
But you can't trust someone else.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, you have to take the time to build those relationships and build that trust. But it's just going to be difficult if you're out here just trying to do this stuff on your own.
And part of it is, you know, and when you're in true, like, grind mode, for lack of a better term, you don't have to worry about anybody taking your idea. especially if your circle is different. So, like, I always talk about dawn and daybreak yoga. I have no desire to take on anything else. I don't want to teach yoga. I barely can make it to yoga. So anything that she tells me, she has no concern in the world about me being like, oh, now I know how to open a yoga studio. I probably do. But guess who's never, who does not want to open a yoga studio?
Right, exactly.
And so it's choosing people that are different. So when I think of my circle of friends, they're all in different industries. We can work together. So it could be like, oh, hey, you run a this. Well, why don't we do this? So sometimes Donna will be like, can you help me with this marketing? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that is. But she's never going to be like, no, I'm going to do my own blog. And I'm going to do a podcast. I'll give her a podcast. Well, but
I was talking to a young lady out of Columbus. She's a technologist out of Columbus. Super, super smart. And she was just kind of talking about how you have all these women that have all these different ideas. And they're all trying to run their separate businesses. And maybe we might be more efficient. Like, not everyone is going to be a good CEO.
Right.
Maybe you're like the chief marketing officer. You're a marketer.
Yep.
And, okay, if your business is not really taking off, but, like, you are crushing it with marketing, like, pick one. Take all of your business ideas, pull them in the room, and, you know, really kind of sort through which one has the most legs, and then how can we, using our specific areas of expertise, like, build this particular business. So I just thought that was a really unique approach, and that's the hardest thing. That's what Ann and I were just having the conversation of how we all want to have, like, our own business, and we were kind of going back to
the psychology,
slavery, and kind of like, you know, and then just even maybe a lot of times at work, you're not fully allowed to self-actualize in your idea. So when you finally have an idea to have, you want it to be your own, but I think that's something to think about is if you're in a, you know, a lot of times people have two or three or four businesses before the fifth one pops and that's the one that makes it. So thinking about, like, taking a look at what one another is doing that might be complementary and saying either how can we work together on this, join forces on this, or, you know, even if it's the same type of business, or how can we, you know, pick the business that has the most sea legs and, like, all get behind that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also tell, I advise entrepreneurs to constantly evangelize your business and then look and see who gets enthusiastic about
it. So tell me, unpack the word evangelize for everyone.
Just constantly preaching about what you're trying to do.
Gotcha.
I mean, sales clerk, Walmart clerk, wherever you are.
That's figuring out your customer.
When you see that, when you see someone that's interested in it, they're going to be your, they could be your next web designer, but they also could just be that person you call when you're feeling like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Yes, that's so true.
And you're biggest cheerleader.
You can see it in people's eyes. And I know, because I'm a service provider, there's some businesses that's like, I'm trying to stay interested. It's just not, you know what I mean? It doesn't excite me. So when you see someone that your business excites, you got to grab them, because they could be a customer, they could just be walking advertisement, but they have the passion you have.
Or they are, like you said, they're the next evangelist. I met this person who did this.
Exactly.
You know, I tell those stories. I met this cool person who sells these cool things.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And maybe I'm not going to buy that, but I know you need it. Exactly. And I met this lady at Walmart who's doing this thing.
Because you need other people excited about what you're doing for those times when you're like, why am I doing this?
Right. So we are running out of time, but last touches on the book. Any last words? I thought it was amazing. I refer back to it. It's almost like a, I don't call it a Bible, but I refer back to it all the time.
I do.
And it helps, because you need the hack. So there's sometimes I've read the hack and the hack didn't apply yet.
Exactly.
But when the hack, when I hit,
you gotta go back and
I'm gonna be like, wait a minute, in Leapfrog, I have a hack for that.
And it's for me, it's just like that blanket, it's that warm blanket. It's like, okay, I can go back and read this book again and get energized and get inspired on all these different topics, because she covers everything from finances to marketing to relationships.
To even the personal side, like the friends.
Right.
And being in and the entrepreneurship. Failures. Right, and the failures.
Yeah. And the other cool thing is she, I feel like she lives her brand.
Okay.
And she's a connector. And so that cool thing when we had the book group and she tagged it and she noticed it, and she's looking for people who are excited about what she's doing.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Which is kind of what she's preaching.
Which is my segue. Okay. So she's excited. She's tagged our book club and like applauded us for having a book, which that excited me. Like, okay. I even got some eyeballs on this thing. You know, I just was trying to tell people to come to the book club. So, you know, I just wish I could meet her one day.
This is your year. She's actually coming.
Happy birthday.
She's actually coming to Cleveland. She will be at the Female Entrepreneurship Summit, which is a big woman entrepreneurship event. Mm-hmm. I think it's October 23rd.
Yes.
So we would love, Natalie, if you're out there, we would love to meet you. And
my book signed.
Yeah. And hear from you on this book. We are your biggest fans.
Get that wisdom.
Yeah. And we need that energy in Ohio and in Cleveland.
So knowing that she's coming to town, number one, if you have not read the book, definitely library. You're going to want to write it. So I don't really go to the library, but start with the library.
Right.
That's how I start. Start with the library. Okay. And then I'm like, I need to own this.
Yes.
Like, you don't get this book back. Yeah, so no. Give me that one. Let me get the new one. Listen to it. I know it's available on Audible or everywhere. And read it. And then in October, come and hear from her. But also, in the meantime, I would say, feel free to talk to me about the book if you've read it. Mm-hmm. Would you guys say the same thing? Well, like, yes. Find us and message us. So as we wrap up, how do people or share if they want to talk to you about the book? How can they find you, chat with you? Are you on social media? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we just ring your doorbell?
Yeah.
You can find me on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
And Richie.
Okay.
Okay. And you can find me on LinkedIn as well, Gloria Ware from Cleveland. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram, and it's at Flourish, the letter N, flower, Flourish and Flower. On both Twitter and Instagram.
And we'll have connections and links in our website episode. But any last parting words about the book? I mean, there's so much more to say. Like, we could have rolled this thing in 2 hours.
Be bold.
Ladies, we're starting a movement.
It's a revolution. And the word revolution.
At the end, I love the way she closes it. At the end, she comes strong.
But no spoilers, but as I was reading it, I'm like, oh, I get it. Yes. I see what we're doing here.
Exactly.
Yes, I understand that.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Yes, love the book, read the book. Thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you for having us.
I can't wait to continue to talk to you about this book. I will be sending you guys messages like, okay, let's talk about this hack. So just know that's happening. If you're at the book club, feel free to keep talking to us about the hacks, and let's keep the conversation going. And be sure to join us at our next reading in Riesling. We have them once a month at the Urban Winery. I think we're going to add them west side, so stay tuned.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And
across the river.
Yes, east and west. Open to all, of course.
Yeah.
And we will see you for our next episode of Black Girl and Sealy, the podcast. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl and Sealy, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Black Girl Incle. Talk to you next time.